Welcome to the Motoring Podcast, your weekly discussion of motoring news. This is episode 155 on Monday, the 8th of January, 2018. Hello, I'm Alan.
Hello, I'm Andrew. And this week we will be talking about new car registration figures for December and 2017. Don't say we don't spoil you. Unfortunately, there's more Vauxhall job losses, and parking your car via your phone is a step closer.
Dum, dum, dum.
But first, follow-up, Alan.
Well, I was going to try and put my false teeth in and actually say what I was going to say, which was Happy New Year, everyone, by the way.
Yes, Happy New Year. Yes, of course. It's been a while, but hopefully the listeners have been satisfied with the four special editions over the festive period.
Satisfied? I want them to have been absolutely flipping delighted with them.
Okay.
Or something like that, as much as you can get with us talking about cars. So, hope you enjoy them. Well worth a listen.
Right, Fiat Chrysler, though. Into follow-up, straight into it. We've got plenty to talk
about.
We've
got so much to talk about tonight, we're just not hanging around.
Fiat Chrysler are apparently in talks over a potential diesel emissions settlement in the US, which is following on from last May.
So it's nice. It's nice recent stuff then.
Well, this is getting to the point where the conversations behind closed doors are beginning to be made public. I think this happened just before Christmas, actually, when no one was looking at the news.
Yes, December the 19th. There you go.
But yes, they're trying to reach an agreement. The problem I have with this is that they've been accused of illegally using software, and it's 104,000 US diesel vehicles since 2014
to 2016. Yeah.
So you sort of go, what's the difference with VW, really?
I think. Is this where I go and talk about
proxy trade wars again?
One of them doesn't necessarily have a German name. The other one is that the vehicles that are being discussed here, by the way, aren't the 500X, which is the one that's subject to much of the muttering here in Europe. We are talking about Ram pickup trucks and stuff. So these are purely North American vehicles, really. Mm. And that's where it is. So the fact it's not necessarily a car, but it falls under light truck, because you'll notice that it's always vehicles that's used in this Reuters article that we're referencing, as opposed to cars. So so that may well have an aspect to it as well.
Yeah, but it does seem a little bit one rule for one rule for the other-ish.
Yeah,
which is a bit disappointing, but have to say, not that surprising either. Considering,
no, not really.
Didn't the US government bail out Chrysler?
You may very well say that. I couldn't possibly comment. A number of times they bailed just about everyone out.
Yeah. So. Anyway, moving on. Talking of another American company, and this is this was raised to us, wasn't it, at this point?
This was, this is one of those times when we realise just how awesome our listeners are. The last show that we did, that we released on the 14th of December, was it, I think? So the last show that we released, then we mentioned GM and their proposal to remove liability to what had been reported as a proposal to remove liability for manufacturers testing AV autonomous vehicles in California. And this got picked up by a chap called Mitch Turk.
I'm sorry.
I had it correct in my head earlier on, and then I thought I misread it. Mitch Turk, who is an advocate of autonomous vehicles, but not in the sort of crazy religious
zealot way
that some people are. Yes, zealot. That's the word. And he popped back and said, "Well, look, really, you've talked from one angle, which is the angle reported by Jalopnik and Associated Press." But there's some other stuff. So he pointed us in. There was quite a good discussion on Twitter, and I think you have a link to that thread.
Yes, it was all grown up. It was
It was really, it's one of those times when, you know, it's not the stereotypical Twitter discussion. And he points us in the direction, amongst other things, of the actual text from the California DMV, which shows what was there before and what the things were. Please go have a wee read of that. Have a wee read of the thread, because it's really interesting, and Mitch seems like a smart and reasonable guy. Well worth following on Twitter. If you are interested in AVs from either end, because what
he talks intelligently about it.
Yes, he's not a marketing person.
Yeah, I may not agree with everything he says, but it's intelligent, and that's fine. We can all deal with that, because we were saying before, the zealots. It's when they're just shouting. He's prepared to have conversations, and that makes it enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I mean, the last thing he tweeted was an interesting thing on assessing cybersecurity threats and automated vehicle functions, and pointing out that it is a complex social issue and not just to do with IT.
Yes.
So, it's interesting stuff like that.
Yep.
Go for it.
Right. We start the new year with a bit of bad news, really. On top of the 400 jobs that were already been announced as going at Vauxhall's Ellesmere port plant, they've announced today that there's going to be another 250. Now, the 400 were going to be people who were going to take early retirement. Their positions wouldn't be filled, so it would come down to, I think it was either from 2 to 1 shift. Or 3 to 2 shifts. What I couldn't remember what it is, but it's reducing one of the shifts anyway. But now there's it's been announced there's another 250 jobs to go. Depresses me to say I'm not that surprised.
Yeah, they are also saying, you know, the according to the BBC report that'll be linked, is Vauxhall has said that Vauxhall Opel have just said that it's committed to committed to keep making the Astra at Ellesmere Port, though. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So there we go. Right. I think we're into
new
news now, aren't we?
We are, and it's new news to be happy about. Oh no, hang on, it's the new car registration figures.
Yes. What are we going to do? Are we going to do the December 1st and then the year?
Let's do right, we should have discussed this beforehand. Let's do bestsellers. Let's do the headline numbers, bestsellers. Do we have to talk about the spreadsheet? And then we'll do the spreadsheet.
Okay.
Briefly, quickly, honestly, I promise. So the headline figures are that... in December, 152,473 new cars were registered in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
The split from those is that 37.8% were diesel, 56.6% were petrol, and 5.6% were autonomous fuel.
Oh, you were 4.4 off.
I was 4.4 off. The big difference there is that's down 10% over the equivalent. That's the diesel market share, pardon me, is down 9.2% compared to December last year, to give you an idea of just where those numbers have come and have shuffled. Those numbers don't make sense.
No, down 31.1%. Second column.
It is, yes, down 31.1%. Yes, second column, third row. You'd think, you know, I've done this once or twice before. You'd think I'd actually know. They haven't changed this table.
We haven't done it for 2 weeks, I know, Alan, but
I know.
It can't be that badly.
It's only 2 weeks. It feels like longer. Yes. I know what I was trying to say, and I failed miserably. 37.3% were private, 59.2% were fleet purchases at registrations, and 3.5% were business registrations. In there. So that's the numbers for the month. That compares overall change down 14.4%, which is in line with my prediction, which will take us through to about April. which is down 14.4% overall. I mean, the biggest biggest drop was in diesel registrations, down 31%. Alternative fuel vehicles up 37%, with petrol down a mere 2%. So just about a rounding error. The bestsellers list. So time for the first time tonight to queue up the sign of the swinging symbol, because we start off with number 10, the little Mercedes that can, the A-Class 2712 registrations. Number 9, the Ford Cougar. Number 8, the BMW 3 Series. And number 7, the Vauxhall Mokka X, with 3,111. They're very popular on Motability, mate. Next in number 6, I know you and I think they feel like they're going to topple over.
Mm.
I can see his face. You guys can't generally see his face.
Lucky you.
Yes. Think of it as a blessing. Number 6, the Nissan Cash Cow. Number 5, the Ford Focus. Number 4, the Vauxhall Astra. Number 3, the Mini. Number 2, the Ford Fiesta.
Dun, with dun, dun.
That's true. With 5,029. And at number 1, with 6,209 cars, is the Volkswagen Golf.
Wow.
There must be a supply issue with the Fiesta. Or this is just taking a strong stance against pre-registrations.
Yeah. Okay, year to date then. Do the year to date.
Do the year to date up here. Year to date. Do you want me to start with all the figures? So year to date.
Just do the order from 10 to 1. You don't have to. Just do the last couple figures. You don't have to do all that. Because we've got the link in the show notes. So if anybody's really interested, they can scroll down and see where you've got your percentages.
Nobody's really interested. So anyway, year to date, top 10. 43,717 Mercedes-Benz A-Class were registered. Unbelievably. 45,912 Mercedes-Benz C-Classes. Then we have Mini, Volkswagen Polo, Vauxhall Astra, Vauxhall Corsa. 52,772 Corsas, by the way. Nissan Qashqai. 64,216, so over 12,000 more there. Third, Ford Focus, 69,903. Second, the Volkswagen Golf, 74,605.
Oh yeah, Dieselgate will hit their sales.
Oh yeah. A mere 6 million vehicles they sold in 2017, by the way, in total, not just in the UK, but in total. Just over 6 million vehicles. It's a lot of cars. It's a lot of stuff. I wonder how many that is per second. Number one, of course, last year was the Ford Fiesta. So despite a few months not being number one, for once, still 19,900. 900, pretty much. More than Volkswagen Golf. So Ford Focus still going strong overall in there. Quick look at the spreadsheet.
Don't get sunburn off all the red.
The spreadsheet, oh doom. I mean, it is like looking at...
December is grim.
A Malaga beach.
Year to date, you know, is a little bit better.
So let's just... God, mate. It is... terminally depressing. I mean, you look at some of them. So the December change, for example, for Jeep is down 67.9%. They registered 261 vehicles.
DS, Fiat.
For Dacia, it's down 48.
Dacia, they're all virtually 50% each.
PSA Group.
Just
grim. Anything PSA Group, including Vauxhall, down 22% for Vauxhall. Yeah, not awesome. Well done, however, to MG, up 24%.
Are they Mitsubishi the best performing car ever?
What a load of pants. Seat up 15%, Skoda up 14%, and Toyota up almost 12% in there. Those, by the way, are the only green ones, where it's more than 2 or 3% rise. Lexus is 2.93.
Yep.
Might as well give them an honourable mention. Alpha is up 4%, by the way. Don't know how we missed that.
Which is 12 cars.
Yes, it is.
That's why I've not mentioned it. Double, you know, double figures, and it has to be impressive numbers of cars.
Yeah. Well, there were impressive numbers in there. So Lotus are up 120% because they registered 11 cars. But
2017, though. Come on.
2017, overall, some manufacturers done really well. So Aston Martin, for example, are up 62%. Abarth up 12%. Infiniti up 21.6%. Maserati up 18%. You can tell we're really going for the volume manufacturers here.
Yeah.
Mercedes up 6.6.
Seat.
I've got to them. Hang on. There's a microphone in the way. Seat up 18.29%.
Which is good news because it did look a bit grim for them for a while.
It was. The early part of the year was pretty awful. This has mostly been during the period where everyone else's sales have been dropping like stones.
But
Seat now have 1.76% market share.
That's good, which is good. We like that. But the fight for the most ridiculous percentage positive change this year is between Chevrolet and McLaren.
Yeah.
Can you announce the winner, please, Alan? Because I know everyone's on tenor.
Hang on. Let's imagine there's a little drum roll here. The winner with the largest percentage change according of vehicle registrations in the UK, according to the SMMT published figures, is McLaren with 3,050, which isn't actually a true reflection because they didn't start counting at the start of 2016. So that's actually a rubbish one. However, so Chevrolet, who don't even sell cars in the UK, there's 1,650%. If you ignore those crazy, ridiculous outliers, it's Aston Martin, but you may well have seen tweets from them and press releases.
Yeah, but on the more negative side of things, it was grim, as we've discussed recently, for Vauxhall. At 22%.
Well, 22%, Subaru 25%, despite our best efforts. Renault 18%, Peugeot 60%, that's just awful. Jeep 54%.
Yep.
Overall. Lotus don't really count.
Mazda is down.
Mazda down 16%.
Yeah. Fiat.
Yeah.
Grim. And Bentley down 10% as well.
Yeah. Anyway, so should we move on to something chirpier then?
Well, just in accompaniment with this, I saw an article from Professor David Bailey, who's at Aston University, who gets asked to talk about the car business. And there'll be a link in the show notes to his suggestions on why 2018 may not be great either. It's a bit doomy and gloomy, I have to say, but I think it's possibly quite realistic as well.
Well, I think that there's a certain amount of realignment going on here, and hopefully there is less pre-registration and all that kind of thing. I think it was seen to be becoming a bit of a bubble previously.
Yeah.
Not just by us.
No, that we've seen people just ask questions.
And I think there's a certain amount of correction from that kind of thing.
This is the time to do it if you're going to do it.
Yeah. Get all the bad news over. Overall numbers, by the way, is down 5.65% year on year for registrations. So you know, overall, not too awful.
Yeah, well, considering how much they've been increasing for how long,
it was
always going to happen.
It was always going to happen. We'd been saying that for a long time. Hope this isn't the bubble. So. Yeah. Possibly better in the long term. There may be some rationalisation about who makes money, who doesn't. I heard an interesting thing said by a senior member of one vehicle brand. That's not a British company, pointing out that actually, you know, it's not in the interests of some of these manufacturers to actually be selling cars in the UK. Because why bother when they can sell the same car anywhere else in Europe for more money? Due to the way the exchange rate is, and the fact that we've historically had a much lower cost of cars, certainly over the last 10 years or so, because of the strength of the pound at the time. And he was saying that you know, there's, you look at the numbers, you look at it over the market, and you may well be that some people just actually don't really want to be selling here, so they're not hugely stressed on a macro level about this drop in British right-hand drive sales, because they can focus on the left-hand drive markets where they're, European markets where they're traditionally much, much stronger. Yeah, but, which I thought was a very interesting take.
No, that is interesting, but we are the centre of the universe, so...
The whole of Europe rotates around us.
Well, globally, it rotates around
us. Oh, yeah. Well,
come on. Don't think small, Alan.
I thought that was... Yes. Anyway, shall we move on?
Yes, sad news there.
Yes. Oh, more sad news. Oh, it is more sad news. Pardon me. Yes, I've got my things in the wrong order. It is sad because December there, we say goodbye to a chap called Kenichi Yamamoto, who you may or may not have heard of. But he was the inventor of the Mazda Rotary. And he died. Well, he went on to become the boss, the chief at Mazda. But he's died at the age of 95. His story really quite incredible. Right from just after the war, right the way through. So really, really interesting story he has. And any of us who have ever driven rotary engine cars will, completely appreciate just how different that was, and just what a departure from the automotive norm some of those are. And hopefully it's something that Mazda seems to be continuing with, not just rotaries, but also that innovation. We saw that before with the Skyactiv-X engine, the compression ignition petrol engine and stuff. But very, very sad to hear about Yamamoto-san there.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Right. More new news. The government, the Department of Transport, has released a consultation, which has, I think, about 4 weeks left, because they did this just before Christmas as well, which took up two of the weeks. Putting forward a proposal to... lift a ban on using remote parking technology. Whoa.
What do you mean by remote parking technology?
Could it be in the key fob, like a BMW, or via an app on your mobile phone?
So this isn't where people sit inside the car and press a button to make it.
No.
Do it. This is the probably standing outside.
Yes, most likely standing outside, but you could also be in the vehicle. But it is, you are, why they are bringing it up, one of the reasons is because people have pointed out that the mobile phone laws are at odds with some of the technology that's being developed and how it is to be used, which is via apps for certain specific elements of the vehicle's use, like the parking. And this is the first step of the government getting its head around, understanding and getting people used to the fact that you will be allowed to use your phone for some things, but not all things.
Mm-hmm.
But the main point of this is that you do have to remain in control. Added to this is going to be the use of, it's been termed as motorway assistance, which is your lane-keeping assistant, your adaptive cruise control, things like that, which they've clarified what the rules are as far as this goes, because apparently some people are confused about this, it appears.
Okay, right.
Now, I've read through the consultation document, you'll be pleased to hear. And I've enjoyed some of the elements of it.
He hasn't. What he's done, everyone, and I have a copy of his annotated version on the screen in front of me here, is he has been through and he's put blooming great red dotted lines around all the bits that he wants to, he desires to question.
Well, yeah.
And there's a lot of red pen in
there. No, not all of it's questioned. Some of it is just to make it quick and easy for me to find the highway code elements that they are talking about changing. But the first bit, we are on page 5.
If you could turn to page 5 in your handouts now, children.
When it talks about glossary of terms. Automated yes. vehicle. The meaning, apparently, means any vehicle equipped with technology that has the capability of operating or driving the vehicle for all or part of the journey without the active physical control or monitoring of a natural person, as opposed to an unnatural person, whether or not the technology is engaged.
Well, it's a perfectly reasonable dictionary definition.
Why is it in?
Why,
that's
why
not
is it
relevant.
No, but people will question it. So if you put it in and you put in the definition, it means people say, oh, okay, so that's why it's not included in this.
And
although,
they don't exist.
Well, actually, that by that definition, then actually they do exist.
No, they don't. Are you telling me there's a car that does not require active physical control or monitoring?
It was the part of the journey bit. And I was thinking, well, surely if you're putting it into the space, sense that, but it's the active physical monitoring is where that one falls down.
Yep.
But it's worth including it anyway, just to show people that this is what autonomous is. So none of these, essentially saying, none of these other things or any, or combination of these other things that we're discussing fits the definition of an automated vehicle.
Okay. And they do have the dreadful... six levels, 0 to 5 levels of what autonomous vehicles are.
Yeah,
and they've highlighted level 2 to show which element they are talking about. So we are only talking about technology that is apparently level 2.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not level 3. It's not, you know. So this is how far it's going on.
Yeah, and it is saying. I mean, the definition of that, in as much as there is a definition. Is that when the system is active, the driver actively monitors the road environment and system performance, intervening as necessary. So you actually have to be sitting there with your hands on the steering wheel.
Yeah. It's driver assistance is what we're talking about.
It's driver assistance.
Yeah.
That Society of Automotive Engineers J3016 is a pain in the bottom.
It's garbage, and all the people, manufacturers... And the people in the know all say it's garbage, but no one's come out with anything new, so that's what everybody unfortunately refers to.
Yeah. Well, it's easier. There's numbers. You can draw it like a little pyramid. It's what people understand.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's it's an interesting document. It's not a bad document. There's just...
Generally, it's okay.
Yeah, it's generally not bad.
Again, it's been written generally... in fairly clear, plain English,
mm-hmm.
Which we've commented before on the DVLA's website.
Yeah.
As any regular listener will guess, I'm
and
not...
Anyone who's listening for the first time has probably picked up already.
Particularly enamoured with everything they talk about and how they mention it. I think they contradict themselves a couple of points, fairly minor. But this is a consultation. And we all have the opportunity to read through this and make comments and feedback to the Department of Transport,
yes.
Which they will hopefully listen to if what we've said is actually sensible.
Well, there is a way you can respond. There's a response. There is actually a link to the online response form from within the document, should you desire. We'll have it in the show notes as well.
Yep.
It's at the top of page 19.
Mm-hmm. Which is after many red boxes and comments by me.
It is.
But
it
you
is.
Won't see
and
that
if it
version.
Wasn't, and if it wasn't for the comment, and if it wasn't for some of the commentary, I'd suggest that we shared it, but I don't think so.
No.
So, yeah. Tick. So that brings us to probably slightly more than... Thank goodness.
To probably you were worried about that.
I was really worried about that. To a bit more, bit further than halfway through, and it is that time in the show when I remind you of the best ways to support us here at Motoring Podcast.
The Guilt Minute.
The Guilt Minute, yes. So, best way, of course, would be to become one of our supporters on Patreon, which lets you donate a small amount to us every month to help us cover hosting costs and...
travel
and software costs and travel and all sorts of other fun stuff and insurance and all sorts of scary, dull stuff. Most
grown-up stuff.
It is the grown-up stuff behind all of this. Yeah, if you'd like to know more about that and the kind of offers and what we give you as a bonus in return, then if you head to motoringpodcast.com and click on the orange Become a Patron button, there on the right-hand side of our front page. If you are already a patron, then thank you hugely, muchly. It is very much appreciated.
It is very, very
We do, of course, understand that not everyone has the ability to do that, so please don't forget to do the absolutely free way of supporting us by a liking, a rating, and leaving us some feedback via the podcast playing platform of your choice. The biggest, most influential of all being iTunes. But, you know, any of the others works a treat as well. So thank you so very, very much.
Mm-hmm. Done. Right, motorsport.
Motorsport. Yes, motorsport corner. Formula E is back. It'll be back in Marrakesh on the 13th of January. That's Saturday. For the Circuit Automobile International Moulay El Hassan, it just drips off the tongue, in downtown Marrakesh, which should be quite a sight, to be perfectly honest. This is the second race of the 2017-2018 season, and that should bring. Let's continue the thrills and spills of the electric racing series.
But it hasn't been quiet, has it? In the
well,
in
not,
the,
not
the sort of what would we call well, this break.
Well, there's going to be at least one. Yes, well, after one race, actually, Dragon Racing. So Dragon Racing, remember, used to be Faraday Future Dragon Racing, but they're not anymore. They had hired experienced racing driver, Porsche LMP1 racing driver, a chap called Neil Jani, I think is how his name's pronounced. And partly in the hope of tying up with Porsche, in the hope that they could become Porsche Dragon Racing. That hasn't really come through, and neither did Neil in his first showing in Formula E. Before Christmas, and so he will not be joining them in Marrakesh. Basically,
no, one
race
LMP.
Weekend, he's going back to LMP1 racing, and that's that. Sorry, oops, this hasn't worked out. So he'll be. Nobody knows who he's going to be replaced by, and who will be Jerome D'Ambrosio's teammate
if replaced by.
Well, yes.
Well, it looks to me like finances are an issue, so unless that driver brings an awful lot of cash.
Well, yes, yes. Well, the good thing about speaking of cash is the good thing is that the Formula E is actually about to become cheaper to compete in rather than more expensive.
Hang on, whoa, no, hang on. Motorsport,
I know.
From the FIA announcement, motorsport should be unsustainable, shoot itself in the foot repeatedly, and alienates itself more and more from its fan base. Isn't that what's meant to happen?
That is absolutely what's meant to happen, but it doesn't seem to be happening at the minute, which has reminded me of a story that we forgot to include. So yeah, absolutely. So what's happening is that the FIA has revealed the different price caps for independent teams to purchase race-ready Formula E cars from the teams that decide to actually manufacture them. You know, so if some people decide to build their own Formula E car, because right at the minute what happens is that they lease them.
All right.
They lease them all from Formula E. Formula E owns all the cars. You then subsequently lease. And that was a way of keeping costs down as it started. The trouble is, of course, right at the minute, up until the 2018-2019 season, then you need two cars per driver, two cars per race, because you have to do the swappy bit in the middle. 2018-2019, that's going to stop happening. So
because that's when McLaren Technologies gets involved, doesn't it?
That's when the new chassis comes in and the new power pack from McLaren Applied Technologies comes in. Yes, it is. So currently, I've lost it now. Currently, the cars cost about. I've lost the right one. I'm so sorry. I should have made a note of this sets of numbers. About 150,000 euros per unit for this powertrain and 600,000 euros in total for the cars. Is that correct?
Yeah, it seems to. 600,000 in total, including plus spares.
Hang on. Total car for 17-18 was marked at 480,000 euros. Okay. However, the new one coming in is going to be more expensive. It's going to be the 600,000 euros.
Okay.
Mark. So you think, whoa, that's quite a markup. And then you, quite a jump in price. And you think, well, actually, there's a huge saving there because you only need one of those cars to go the whole way.
Yeah.
So it's going to become essentially, the teams will save about 300,000 euros because in the number of cars that they have to buy overall. So it will become much cheaper. But the fact that these prices are being made public rather than being whispered about between closed doors and remaining a rumour, the fact that this is the way it is, and it's all being discussed out there is really quite impressive and really quite cool. And it is part of that. One of the things that Formula E has attempted from square one is to say, okay, look, we know that if we're not careful, costs are going to spiral out of control because that's what happens in motor racing, successful motor racing. So, they've done that. They've started to tie that down. By the way, if you want to give an idea of just how much of what's happened, the actual new ones are going to be 50 kilowatts more powerful. So that's 25% more than currently. And the battery capacity goes from 28 kilowatts to 54 kilowatt hours.
Yeah, that's quite impressive.
28 kilowatt hours to 54 kilowatt hours. So there's a significant difference in here. And it's going to be interesting, I think, the racing with this, the single car. I'm really looking forward to that because then, for a start, that will shut up a certain quarter of the detractors from Formula E. Oh, look, you can't even get through a whole race in one car.
Mm-hmm.
And all that rubbish. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That should be good.
Okay, so what was the story you'd forgotten?
The story was Natalie McGloin. That she is... I thought it was in Trello somewhere near the bottom, but maybe I didn't synchronise it. And she has been approached by the... it's not in the list. She's been approached by the FIA to be a... to be an ambassador for disabled people in across motorsport and across motor racing, and her opinions and things. So she's now got an active role with the FIA around that. I don't have a story about it in front of me, and I read it first thing this morning. So my apologies if there's any inaccuracies.
I will dig out the link and I will insert
definitely.
And we'll tweeted congratulations here and say mm-hmm. that's great news. And it's excellent to see that the FIA is appreciating the breadth of people who want to go motor racing. You know, it is not just, you know, really wealthy white men type thing. So, you know, it's
well, that's the thing. There we go. There's the correct terminology. I'm really sorry about that. She's the president of the FIA Disability and Accessibility Commission.
There you go.
There. So, yeah, that's awesome. It's really good. And as she points out, motorsport's one of the very few arenas in which disabled drivers compete in exactly the same arena under exactly the same terms as able-bodied drivers.
Hmm.
Just have to look at the yeah.
Yeah, yep, it's good
great
news.
Stuff.
Good
really, news. Really pleased. Yeah, sorry that wasn't properly and seamless.
Right, moving on. This is just a quick to bring to your attention, dear listener. But Andy Masson, who was on Rear View not so long ago, has his own blog, which is called That Product Guy, in which he gets to be a little bit more geeky in certain topics he gets interested in. And one of them, which he tweeted out, which is why I came across it. Now, bear with me, because this is actually a cracking article.
It's a fantastic article, but set aside most of your lunchtime for it.
Yes, it is titled History of Road Tax in the UK and the Effect of VED Reform from April the 1st, 2017.
It does sound a little bit more like a master... a mastermind topic than a blog title, but it's the amount of research that has gone into this is this is not a two paragraph clickbait job. This is proper stuff.
You need to sit and think as you read this, and we thoroughly encourage you to do that. So the link will be in the show note. Click through, read it, and once you've read it, you know, let Andy know that you've read it and tell him what a cracking article it is or cracking post.
It has graphs and everything.
Well, there's lots of graphs. Oh, lots very happy to see them.
Yeah. And all properly referenced back to the sources and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. So please.
He's done it like a proper grown-up and everything.
It is. You feel that there should be a PowerPoint pack to go along with it. In fact, I strongly suspect that it's a PowerPoint pack to go along with it, yeah. Judging by the graphics. Yes.
I may have come to that conclusion too.
No, genius stuff. Thank you, Andy, for taking the time. An effort to write articles like that because it's proper stuff. Good things. Which brings us to the list of the week.
Now, are you going to name this list of the week? Because it says in the title, 50 must-visit events for car enthusiasts 2018.
Yes, it is. 50 must-visit events for car enthusiasts in 2018. It's by Andrew Brady at Motoring Research. And it is a list of all the things within the UK... He says, qualifying slightly. It is mostly within the UK. Not quite. He says, scrolling to the Geneva Motor Show.
Yeah, quite.
But lots of stuff, lots of cars, whatever your automotive preference is when it comes to these things.
Well, it talks about Autosport this coming weekend, we will be at.
We'll be there.
On Saturday. If anybody's there that listens to this show, do give us a shout on Twitter. And we'll see. We'll hopefully be able to hook up and say hello, that sort of thing. So, I'm looking forward to it because I've not been to Autosport before.
No, me neither. Me neither. It should be good. I'm intending on being at Geneva as well. Everything from ultimate. Everything is listed here from ultimate dubs to Goodwood members meetings to
Great Escape. The
cars exactly beat me to it to the cars and coffee. At Great Escapes in I've forgotten where the base now.
Redditch.
Near Birmingham. Redditch, thank you. Sorry, Graham. There, Jap Fest, National Kit Car Show, Truck Fest at Peterborough, London to Brighton Run. All of these things. Supercar events at Dunsfold, British Grand Prix, all sorts of fun stuff. I'm not going to go through all 50, and I'm definitely not going through all 50. But it goes right through the year, and it's just stuff to add to your calendar.
Mm. Yep.
You know what would be really cool if they'd actually done a little VCal download of each one of those so you could put it straight into your calendar.
Maybe next year, Andrew.
Things like that.
Maybe next year, Andrew. Yeah, you just put Andrew, the effort
you're
in.
Like, you're not trying hard enough.
Just put the effort in.
Get ourselves into real trouble with this.
Yes, you will, Alan. Get yourself into real trouble with this.
Anyway.
Mm.
Which pretty much rounds up, apart from the end, finally.
Yes.
So, Andrew, this one's yours.
It's podcasts. and General Motors. That is not...
In a good way.
Yeah, I was not expecting these to be in the same sentence. But General Motors is apparently going to be adding podcasts to about a million of their cars in America. Which they haven't said which car it is, and they haven't said which podcast. But the car company partnering with eight media companies so far, which include Fox Sports, People Magazine, The New York Times. So it's not independence. The
and they don't even know the this is from Radio and Internet News, by the way, which is a news thing for podcasts, which I didn't know existed. They don't know who the other five companies are either. At this moment, we can neither confirm nor deny that the motoring podcast is included in those five companies.
Well, as we're not going to pay flipping great wadges of cash, I don't think it's going to be us.
Yeah.
Because that's what's clearly happened. Sadly. Which, on one hand, I'm delighted that people who would not come across a podcast are going to see a podcast. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, we have no idea how these podcasts are going to be played. Is it going to be General Motors' own little podcast app, which will potentially do harm because the chances are it's going to be awful to use. It's going to have such a small selection.
It's going to have such a small selection. Let's ignore the awful to use bit there, please.
Okay.
Where the true
are. Because we have such faith in manufacturers' own UI.
Oh, I know. Yes, yeah, I know. But even, there are other like types of stuff like...
The plus point is the podcasts will be in a vehicle and the chances are the people driving that vehicle will not have heard of a podcast or been able to access them or understood how easy it is to access a podcast. So they will try them and maybe go and try and find things that they do enjoy rather than, I don't know, Fox Sports may not be their thing. So it'd be interesting to see if other manufacturers do this, because I know Land Rover have been creating their own podcast recently of outdoor stories, and they've been tying in with some famous people on these. But it'd be interesting to see whether manufacturers actually start saying, here's some entertainment we are providing for you that we think you will enjoy.
Well, remember that you know, some, when it comes to podcasts and in-car stuff, then some manufacturers do tie up with people like Stitcher, podcast providers like that. So
yeah,
so
that's not a great... Yeah, and we got Apple CarPlay.
Put it like this, it's been about 9 months since I've used it.
Apple CarPlay is one of the few apps that is in there, which is easy to use, isn't it? The podcast app is on Apple CarPlay. Sorry.
Yes, it is.
So there are people putting access to it, but it's interesting to see that a company has actively sought out partners and is sticking them in the car. So
yes,
there we go.
Yes, totally. Which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Good thing.
We are available to be stuck in people's cars.
Yes,
we are happy to discuss how this could be done.
For an absolute bargain of your marketing budget, we would happily do that.
That's it. Apart from
There's one other announcement, which is marked in here, and it says something about rear view on tour. So it's rear view, therefore it's you, sir.
Yes. As people are aware, we have. Several people that we've been trying to get hold of, that not everybody's happy to talk over Skype, because that's how I do it, because I am home-based most of the time, so I'm doing virtually all the calls are over Skype, recording them and then producing them for everybody. However, not everybody can get on Skype or wants to do it on Skype and will prefer to do it face-to-face. So we are tying up and in with the wonderful assistance of Mercedes-Benz Vans, rear views on tour towards the end of the month. Going out and going to meet with several people And I'm going to, the plan is to interview them in the van. I'm going to sleep in the van some of the nights.
I was about to say, for a perfectly personal point of view, this is brilliant, because it means he can come and stay and I don't have to tidy my spare room. It's great.
No, I'll just bring come and use the shower.
Shove it in the drive. Come and use the shower. Yeah, that's great.
So thanks to Caroline at Mercedes-Benz Vans, who has agreed to this potentially silly idea of mine.
These are ridiculous, but there we go. It should be fun.
So yeah, it's going to be good fun. I'm going to be meeting up with several people, like I say, and those episodes will come out after the event. But I am looking forward to leaving the house.
I think it's going to be hilarious. The first one that you do in the van, it's going to be a disaster. I predict it will be a disaster.
Okay.
I have to read it again. No, that's something to look forward to. It should be good. Just trying to, as ever, trying to mix it up, do something a little bit different, a little bit, just to stop it always being the same, really.
Yeah.
I mean, 2018 is looking, I'm going to finish up in just a second, I promise, but 2018 is already looking kind of crazy busy. To give you an idea of what 2018 is going to be like, I have a couple of press cars booked in already, which is unusual for me anyway. But I have one booked in June. That's how far ahead we're thinking right at the moment, okay? Is that press cars are being booked in for June.
Yep.
And that's not me that's causing that wait, but it should be a fun one. I'm looking forward to that.
Yes. I hope you enjoy that one.
Yes. Lots of bits and pieces coming up between now and then, of course.
Yes. We're actually seeing each other quite often in the first half of the year.
We're going to be quite sick of the sight of each other almost.
Yes, you don't have to look quite so disappointed, Alan.
Yes. It's true. Anyway, we're going to be back. Back normal Tuesday night next week. Apologies. The reason it's early is actually because I've got stuff to do for podcasty stuff this week. It's not even proper work stuff. I hate when I call it proper work because it makes it sound like this isn't work, but it is.
Got proper
stuff coming up, or proper, yeah. Stuff coming up, so there'll be yet another special edition before very long. Two more special editions have to come out, actually.
Yep.
But don't forget that between now and next week, you can give us any feedback and share your thoughts with the show at Motoring Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, on Facebook, and on the contact page of motoringpodcast.com, the hub of all our activities. Please don't forget about how you can support us via Patreon. So if you go to motoringpodcast.com /support, you can find that, and Audible, and all the other ways that you can support us. But don't forget about leaving reviews and ratings on iTunes or however your podcast app lets you do such a thing. It really does matter. Andrew, the Twitters, best way to get in touch with you
is by that there Twitter. If you search for Crack Windscreen, you will find me there. And Alan, if people would like to ask you questions you cannot answer because you have not been on whatever the podcast secret squirrel stuff is this week, what's the best way for them to not get answered?
There'll be Instagram to heck. So the best way to ask me, and I will answer what I can, is via Twitter, where I'm at AJPBradley. BRADLEY. We'll be back next week, as I say. But until then, I've been Alan Bradley.
I've been Andrew Clues.
And safe motoring.